Countless salutations be upon the chosen one, the soul of mercy. Countless salutations be upon the divine candle of assembly of guidance.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen. Amma ba'd, fa'a'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalatu wassalamu alayka ya Rasulallah. Wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Habiballah. Assalatu wassalamu alayka ya Nabiyallah. Wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Nurallah. Dear viewers and listeners of Madani Channel, welcome back to another amazing episode on this wonderful silsila, the life of the chosen one. And who is the chosen one? None other than Mustafa Jani Rahmat Milaku Salam, our beloved Aqa Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. In our previous episodes, we had mentioned the pure ancestry of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and we had mentioned the bachpan, the childhood of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And today we will continue as well some services the beautiful Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned before his i'lan and announcement of nubuwah, of prophethood. Before we continue, at the beginning, as you know, our Shaykh al-Tariq al-Amir Ahl Sunnah, the founder of Dawud Islami, Dawud Barakatuhum al-Aliyah, always encourages us to make as many good intentions to gain maximum thawab and rewards. So we urge you as well, ourselves also, to make as many good intentions. For example, I will listen to the silsila from the beginning to end for the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. I will note down, I will diarize the important points, I will try to practice upon them, I will try to encourage them amongst my family members, my spouse, my children, other Muslims in my society. In this way, whatever other good intentions you can make it now, inshallah, to gain more thawab and rewards in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal. There are countless benefits and blessings for those who recite abundant amount of durud pak and salawat upon Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. It is mentioned that with the reference of the famous book Al-Qawlul Badi', that in summary of hadith, the beloved master Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that the person who recites durud pak, salawat or salutations upon me 50 times daily, I will shake hands with him on the day of judgment. Subhanallah. Sallu ala al-Habib, Sallallahu Ta'ala ala Muhammad, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Therefore, we encourage you and ourselves as much as you can for our own benefit in this world, the qabr and the hereafter, inshallah ta'ala, increase in your durud pak. You have nothing to lose and everything to gain. 50 times durud pak is very easy. After each salah, at least minimum 10 times we recite, we will cover this 50. But don't stop there. Continue, inshallah, you will see the benefits in your life, inshallah ta'ala. Today, inshallah ta'ala, some services that the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had given to the people, his community, before he announced his prophethood. Here I would like to just mention that some people have this misconception. Even we could call it a waswasa, an evil whispering of shaitan, that they say, some people, that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam became a prophet at 40 years old. This is totally incorrect. In fact, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the summary of another hadith, had mentioned, I was already a prophet when Adam alayhi salam was between the body and the soul, or between the sand and the water. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was already a prophet at that time, but he only announced to the people, he proclaimed his nubuwa and made it known to everybody that he's a prophet when he was 40 years old. Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, we must keep this in mind. Huzoor, inshallah today, we're going to discuss some of those services Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned when he helped the community, what he did before he announced to the people, inshallah ta'ala. Before Islam, pre-Islamic Arabia, before Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was propagating Islam to the people at that time, people were infamous actually for internal fighting. Families, tribes used to fight with each other for trivial matters, for very silly, silly things. They used to fight, in fact. They should kill each other. And blood was their weapon actually. And they should feel justified and happy to slay the other person over trivial matters. And one of the famous encounters at that time, the period of Jahiliyyah, the period of ignorance, was with the war of Fijar. The war of Fijar, Hurubi Fijar, meaning the war of sins, or the wars of sins. Why it was called? Stay with us, inshallah, we will explain and continue with many other information, valuable and authentic information, inshallah ta'ala. Now every battle which occurred during the sacred months of Dhul-Qa'dah, Dhul-Hijjah, Muharram and Rajab, they were called Hurub-e-Fijar. Why? Because these months in particular were very sacred months to the Arabs. And anybody who fought in this month, in these months here, it was a sin actually for them. Therefore they called it Hurub-e-Fijar, the wars of sins. Why? They were fighting, they were killing, shedding blood actually in these sacred months. Therefore, the wars of sins. And the Arabs, because these months, they respected these months and they held it as sacred, they would halt, they would stop any fighting, any wars with each other, the tribes, because they, out of respect for them. But whoever indulged in these wars, then was considered as a sin. And there is, some of them used to fight each other, therefore they should commit the sin of disrespecting these sacred months in particular. So many of the Arabs, or most of the Arabs, they believed fighting this month was against Adam, was against respect, and they would hang up their swords, meaning they would stop fighting with each other, believing it to be very sacred. The last war of sin took place between the Quraysh and the Qais tribes when Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam was 20 years old. The last war of these sins took place at that time. So these two tribes, they used to fight each other and during the sacred period of these sacred months. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also participated in this last war with Abu Talib, his uncle. But he did not fight anybody literally on the battlefield. He just provided some of the supplies to them as well. The Quraysh, they were first overcome by the Qais tribe, but later the Quraysh defeated them, and then this led to truce and a peace amongst the Arab people as well. So this is very beautiful that we are learning from the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, before he announced his prophethood, that they were starting to do peace amongst all the people.
Subhanallah, subhanallah. And then came a time when they had Halful Fudul. The continuous fighting between the Arab tribes was the cause of hardship for many families. This fight which was happening, it caused lots of destruction. There was no peace in the existence during night or day, and the lives and properties of all were unsafe. In order to change this, a few sincere individuals gathered together after the end of Hurub-e-Fijar to establish a movement instrumental in bringing about some change in society. This was needed to bring a change in the society, a revolution in the society. The leaders of Banu Hashim, Banu Zahra, and Banu Asad all assembled at the house of Abdullah bin Judan. Rasulullah's uncle, Zubair bin Abdul Muttalib, who was also present there, suggested an agreement in reaching between tribes to control their vices that were inherent in the society. They agreed to live and let live. This was the agreement.
Beautiful principle.
Beautiful principle. Let's live and let live others. Allahu Akbar. And encourage the following. What was the following they encouraged? Number one, to change the environment of the present to a more peaceful one. This was the agreement they wanted to make, a change. Yes. To protect travelers, number two. Help the poor and destitute, number three. To protect the oppressed, number four. And number five, not to allow residence to any oppressor in Makkah al-Mukarramah. These were the changes they wanted to make. Allahu Akbar.
When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was 25 years old, he, at that time even before announcing his prophethood, had a very worthy character, trustworthy personality. People, even those who were his enemies, they trusted him so much. They used to call him Al-Amin, the trustworthy and the one who is so honest. And at that time, a very wealthy lady by the name of Sayyidah Khadija radiallahu anha, her husband had passed away. She was a widow, and she was in search for somebody to transport her merchandise all the way to Sham, to Syria. And she saw that this honesty in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and she chose him actually to take all her merchandise and to sell it there in Sham, in Syria as well. And she even said that, if you take this for me, this merchandise to Syria, then I will pay you twice as much as I would have to anybody else.
Allahu Akbar. Look at the justice of Rasulullah.
Subhanallah, subhanallah. Allahu Akbar. Huzur, look at the justice, and also we see the honesty.
Subhanallah.
Shouldn't we as Muslims learn from this honesty as well?
Subhanallah.
That, you know, we are Muslims, so we say honesty is the best policy, or the
best
only policy.
Exactly. And, yeah? And in fact, the justice and love and the muhabbah that Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam was trying to bring amongst the tribes was proven at the construction of the Holy Kaaba.
Subhanallah,
subhanallah. By the will of Allah azza wa jal, the honesty and loyalty and trustworthiness of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam began to be accepted by all the tribes. They started to accept the trustworthiness of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. He had been granted so much knowledge, wisdom and intelligence that major disputes between the leaders of tribes were solved by him effortlessly. Subhanallah, subhanallah. Leading to many self-acclaimed people of knowledge accepting and regarding him as a great thinker. Subhanallah, subhanallah. You know, Allahu Akbar. When Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam was 35 years old, a strong thunderstorm struck Makkatul Mukarramah and destroyed the structure of the Holy Kaaba. The building of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam and Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam was now beginning to show its age. Allahu Akbar. And then Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasalam partook in this, and a meeting took place in which they decided to restructure the Holy Kaaba. Allahu Akbar. Rasulullah sallam partook in this with the Quraysh leaders, transporting bricks for placement. Subhanallah. Each tribe was assigned for a specific task, but a major dispute later broke out as to who would have the honor of replacing the Hajar Aswad. Swords were taken out and people wanted to kill each other.
Mm-hmm.
It is mentioned in the books that the Banu Abdedar and Banu Adi all swore to give their lives for this. And in proving so, they actually dipped their fingers in a bowl of blood and thereafter licked the blood. This was a type of oath and qasam they would take to show their anger. Allahu Akbar. On the fifth day, the tribes had gathered to find some resolution to this problem. An old man suggested that whoever enters the haram of the Kaaba at the breaking of dawn shall decide its fate. Meaning, the next morning at sunrise, the first person that will enter the haram of the Kaaba, he will have the honor to take Hajar Aswad and place it on the Kaaba. Allahu Akbar. It was the will of Allah Azza wa Jal that the following morning that person would be Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Our beloved Nabi sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam entered the haram. When he was seen by the people, they began to shout out in a loud voice. The Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam then resolved this by asking each tribe, look at the justice of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. They trusted him because they knew his justice. They knew his honesty. They knew that he would not make a decision that will cause conflict amongst the tribes.
He wants to bring peace, actually.
He wants to bring peace, exactly. Now, this was in the nature of our beloved Nabi sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Therefore, our beloved Aqa sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, he took his Mubarak shawl and he placed it on the ground. And he asked all the tribes to choose and select a leader from their tribes. Allahu Akbar. So, they did so. And from each tribe, one leader was selected. One sardar was selected. And Rasulullah called those leaders. And then he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, took Hajar Aswad and placed it in the center of the shawl. Right. And then in a sweet voice, he commands the leaders to take the end of the shawl. Each leader should carry the end of the shawl.
Okay.
Like that, everyone had a chance to carry Hajar Aswad right to the Kaaba.
Allahu
Akbar. And thereafter, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when the shawl was brought, when Hajar Aswad was brought close to the Kaaba, then Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam himself took Hajar Aswad and with his own Mubarak hands, he placed Hajar Aswad in the Kaaba.
Subhanallah.
Allahu Akbar. Imagine if Rasulullah sallam never took such a decision, if he never thought of something like this, there would have been bloodshed.
Bloodshed,
as people
absolutely
dipped their fingers in bowls of blood
and licking it. Imagine. Oof.
So this was common amongst those people at the time of ignorance, that they used to take oaths like this and they would fight. But Rasulullah brought such a decision. He made such a decision. He brought such a solution that saved so many lives.
Alhamdulillah. And we can see that, you know, our Nabi is teaching us to bring peace amongst the people, unity amongst the people as well. Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal. And look at what great strategy, and how intellectual and how full of wisdom our Aqa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was and is. Huzoor, you know, at that when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went for the second journey to Sham, to Syria, to sell the merchandise of Sayyida Khadija radiallahu anha, so she sent one of the servants with him to assist, Maysara in fact. And the caravan, the qafila was going, and they stopped by a monastery. Okay, there was a monk there, and his name was Nastura. When he saw the blessed face of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a monk, not a Muslim, he saw the blessed face of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he hurried actually to Maysara, the servant, and asked that, who is that resting under the tree? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was under a tree.
And
that servant replied, he is the pride of the Banu Hashim, who lives in Makkah. His name is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and his title is Al-Amin, the trustworthy, subhanallah. This monk, Nastura, said that, only a prophet, only a Nabi has ever sat under that tree. Only a prophet has only sat under this tree. So therefore, I firmly believe he is the last prophet. He is the last messenger. Imagine, who is saying this? A monk is saying this. Because he can see the signs of Nubuwwah and prophethood on his blessed face of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he say, I find the signs in him actually of the being the final prophet. And I've read in the Torah, I've read in the Injil as well, that this is to be him, whatever his signs are. And I hope that when he announces his prophethood, that I am there, I will believe in him as well. And he told the servant, you will always be with him. And remember that Allah Azza wa Jal has made him Khatamun Nabiyyin. So tell me, Khatamun Nabiyyin, our viewers must be wondering, what is this term and title? Can you shed some light on this? Khatamun Nabiyyin.
Khatamun Nabiyyin actually is the seal of prophethood sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. That plus minus approximately 124,000 messengers that have come. Mm-hmm. Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam is the final messenger. Mm-hmm. And his title for being Khatamun Nabiyyin is this, that the prophethood had stopped on Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
So no more prophets are coming.
Therefore, the doors of prophethood had been closed after Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Until the day of Qiyamah, no one can come and claim to be a prophet. Because this is the title of our beloved Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he is Khatamun Nabiyyin.
If somebody does say and claim to be an apostle or prophet, then what is the situation there?
Well, if someone claims to be a prophet, then he is the world's biggest liar. As Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned, that I am the last messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And
Quran also has mentioned Khatamun Nabiyyin.
Quran has mentioned, I mean, this is Kalamullah. I mean, after the Kalam being the final book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in which it is stated that Rasulullah is the final messenger, then how would anyone come up and claim his prophethood?
Maybe a non-Muslim can do this, not a Muslim.
Yeah, but in reality, no one can do this. And if anybody does claim to be a prophet, then he would surely be out of the fold of Islam.
Absolutely.
For Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala wasallam is the final messenger. And until the day of Qiyamah, no one can be a prophet after Rasulullah.
Furthermore, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was on this second journey to sell the merchandise of Lady Khadija radiallahu anha, and he was with that servant, Maysara, as he arrived actually, returning back, towards Makkah Sharif, he finished his the business there in Sham, in Basra, the Marcus of Basra. And as he arrived, Lady Khadija radiallahu anha, she was sitting in the upper portion of the house. She was sitting in the upper portion of the house, and the caravan, the qafila is coming, right? And she noticed two angels actually giving shade to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. From where she was, her view, she could actually see two angels giving shade to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this Nurani scene, it stole her heart. She became very enlightened, and Sayyidina Khadija radiallahu anha mentioned this to Maysara, the servant, a few days later. So Maysara said that throughout our journey to Syria, to Sham, we witnessed the same thing. Not only that, but other strange incidents also took place. She spoke of Nastura, that monk who came and showed love and honor and respect to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Khadija radiallahu anha began to admire Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam a lot, and then decided that I want to marry him, I want to make nikah to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because of his character. And Islam teaches us good character as well.
Looking at the character of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, as it is mentioned in the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that in every single aspect of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, look at any angle, look at any aspect in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you will find an example in which you can follow. And believe me, when it came to the business of Rasulullah, him doing business, Huzur sallallahu alayhi wa sallam being married, or in any aspect of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you would find a lesson in which if you follow, you will find many changes in your life. Subhanallah. As we mentioned the justice, we spoke about his honesty and his trustworthiness. Subhanallah. And give you an example about his honesty and trustworthiness. Allahu Akbar. Look at this beautiful narration. Hazrat Abdullah bin Abi al-Hamasa once said, he is a Sahabi Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, once said, I once bought something from the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam prior to the proclamation of prophethood. And I was short of some money, meaning Rasulullah sallam sold something to the Sahabi. He sold something to this Sahabi. And this Sahabi, he paid Rasulullah sallam half of that money.
Okay.
And he told Rasulullah sallam that you could wait here for me and I would come back and pay you the other half. Look at the patience of Rasulullah sallam. This Sahabi mentions that I went and I got involved in some other work. And I unintentionally forgot about that I need to pay Rasulullah sallam the balance of the money. And he says it was not just for a moment, rather for 3 days I had forgotten to pay Rasulullah sallam. And when I did realize that I owe Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam money, he says, I was walking past that place where that business happened with the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allahu Akbar. Qurban jao meri aqa par. He says that when I passed that place where I made the soda and deal with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I found Rasulullah to be standing at that very same point. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam never had a single pareshani or any signs on his face which expressed that he was angry. Rather, mere aqa, he said to the Sahabi, where had you been? I have been waiting for you at this very same point for 3 days.
Subhanallah.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Look at the sacrifice sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam made. For the past 3 days, he stood there waiting for somebody that made a wa'ada. He made a promise that he would come back. And unintentionally, he forgot. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never shouted at him. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the lesson in this is that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had husne zan that this sahabi, my companion, will return back. So Rasulullah never thought after 1 hour, 2 hours, this man had betrayed me. This man had lied to me. My companion lied to me that he would come back. And look, it's 1 hour or 2 hours or a day or two. But rather Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stood there and he waited patiently. And the Sahabi says that when I came back, I never seen that Rasulullah was angry. Rather, in a sweet voice, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked me, where had you been? This is the example that we should adapt as a businessman.
Definitely.
This is
so
the
also our deen, Islam, and our beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam practically give business tips, actually.
Yes.
And business principles.
Undoubtedly. Undoubtedly.
Business principles. Because when you're in business now, some businessmen, they actually lie to promote their products. And their advertising and their marketing. So look at here, I mean, if we have patience, if we have tawakkul and yaqeen, conviction, reliance upon Allah Azza wa Jal, then whoever customers are coming to us, who is sending them? Is Allah Azza wa Jal who's sending them? So we must not think that, okay, azan is going now and so many customers in the shop. So who is sending them? Allah Azza wa Jal is sending them. If we obey Allah and His Rasul, inshallah ta'ala, Allah Azza wa Jal will put the barakah and the blessings into our business, in our rizq, in our sustenance as well.
Subhanallah.
Huzur, I mentioned that Lady Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, she saw this personality, this beautiful character of honesty in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This admiration grew. And then she actually sent a proposal to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam via family members.
Subhanallah.
It is mentioned, as we all know, Lady Khadija radiallahu anha, she had her own business. Her own business, and she was absolutely affluent, very, very rich business lady. One of her titles actually is Tahira, the pure one. She was given this title by the people of Makkah, Zadahullahu Sharafu wa Ta'adima. By now, she was a widow and she was 40 years old. And many people, many influential and very rich people amongst the different tribes of the Quraysh, amongst the tribes of Makkah, they proposed to her. They wanted to marry her. But she declined everybody. And who she chose? She chose Aqwa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam
because
of his character.
Because look at her luck. Look at her
career. Imagine.
Subhanallah.
And by marrying Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, she became part of the Ummul Mu'mineen.
Subhanallah.
The mother of the believers.
Mother of the believers.
Imagine. And from her will be born Sayyida Fatima radiallahu anha.
And Huzur sallallahu alayhi wa sallam always expressed his love for Hazrat Khadija al-Kubra radiallahu anha. By all his wives, he used to mention the sacrifices that she made for Islam and the love that she has showed towards our beloved Nabi sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. And she always supported Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in every way possible. These were her sacrifices, subhanallah, subhanallah.
So, Lady Khadija radiallahu anha, our beloved mother, when she married Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, she became Ummul Mu'mineen, mother of the believers. So our beloved mother, Khadija radiallahu anha, she actually called for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's paternal aunt, Hazrat Safiya radiallahu anha, who was married to Khadija radiallahu anha's brother, Awam bin Khuwaylad, and asked regarding the personal life of Nabi sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. And she also sent a marriage proposal, imagine, to Nafisa bint Umiyya. And authentic narrator of Sirat, Muhammad bin Ishaq, has said that the actual reason given by Khadija radiallahu anha, our beloved mother, to marry Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is that I became fascinated in you because of your excellent manners and in the honesty you displayed. Again here as well. Imagine, this is before Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam announced his prophethood to the people. Already he was so excellent in his morals, in his ethics, in his manners, in his personality, so honest as well that he should display to the people. The Khadija radiallahu anha, so rich, but she said, this is the one I want to marry.
SubhanAllah. And the speciality of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is this, that he married Hazrat Khadija al-Kubra, our beloved mother, while he was at the age of 25.
Is it?
SubhanAllah. I mean, people,
they have this concept that if you marry somebody
older, exactly. And people that mention that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how can he marry Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha while she was so small? I mean, look, the justice of Rasulullah sallam is this, that when you are young, you choose someone that is in your age or somebody who is smaller than you. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was 25 years old when he married Hazrat Khadija al-Kubra, our beloved mother, while she was at the age of 40. Subhanallah, subhanallah.
Yes. Look at the love that he had. And actually, we must learn from this as well. Couples who are out there, that affection and compassion we must show for our spouses, that they are also human beings. They are also slaves like us of Allah Azza wa Jal, slaves of Nabi sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Therefore, we must treat them actually with mercy, with raham, and provide whatever necessity that is commanded upon us in the sharia. When this proposal came, so Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam actually forwarded it to his uncle Abu Talib and other elders of the family. And they could not reject because it was Khadija al-Kubra radiyallahu ta'ala anha, our beloved mother. So they happily accepted the proposal, and the marriage, no objections, took place. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took Amir Hamza radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, Abu Talib and other family members, as well as some nobles of the Quraysh, to the house of Khadija radiyallahu ta'ala anha, our beloved mother, for the nikah to actually take place. And Abu Talib delivered a very eloquent bayan, a speech actually, regarding Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he says that all praises to Allah Azza wa Jal, who created us as the descendants of Ibrahim and Ismail, and has made us amongst the Ma'ad and Mudr tribes. He created the Kaaba and he made us its custodians, giving us leadership over the people. This is my nephew, Muhammad ibn Abdullah.
Subhanallah.
He is of a standard that if anyone has to be compared to him in any field of comparison, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will surely prevail. He has no wealth, but wealth is not a constant. It comes and it goes. After praising Allah Azza wa Jal, all present here are aware of my deep love for my nephew Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He is marrying Khadija bin Khuwaylad radiallahu ta'ala anha, and with a dowry of 20 camels from my side. Assuredly, he has a bright future ahead of him. So here as well we can see, the family members are coming together, and so beautiful it is that at peace, that unity is being brought. And Islam teaches us this as well, to connect with your family members, not to cut them. What can you say in this matter? That when we have disputes at home, brothers are fighting with brothers, or sisters and brothers are fighting, children are disobedient to their parents. How can we actually solve these, or what solution can we have in these matters of our domestic lives?
Allahu Akbar. In this situation, one should adopt the character of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Take him to be your role model. Take the akhlaq and the characteristic of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the morals and the lessons that are in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and following him, you would find so many solutions. Allahu Akbar. If there's dispute between a husband and wife, amongst the father and son, mother and daughter, amongst brothers or amongst friends, be it in business, be it a political reason, be it a physical or a spiritual reason, whatever problems you have, the solution is in the character of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, in going back to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If you follow him and make him your role model, Allahu Akbar, all solutions will be resolved.
So we've heard so many beautiful Madani pearls here that we can implement in our life. We are about to conclude this this episode, inshallah ta'ala, and request you that if you can perhaps read a shi'r in praise of Aqa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for us, inshallah ta'ala.
Subhanallah. Actually, before reciting a shi'r, a couplet in the praise of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I would just like to say that our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is nur, is light. And I would say a reason for us to follow Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in every aspect of our lives is this, that we should love him unconditionally. And we should love his companions, his sahaba and ahl bayt. We should love them. We should have muhabbah towards them. And inshallah, through the barakah of loving the saadat, of loving his family members until the day of qiyamah, no matter wherever you are in the world, when you see a sayyid, you should love him. You should show muhabbah towards him. And inshallah, via the barakah of that love that you show towards the Sayyid, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remove your difficulties. Ala Hazrat Azimul Barakat, Imam Ahle Sunnat, Parwana-e Shami'i Risalat, Hazrat Allama Mawlana Mufti Ahmad Raza Khan, Fadhil-e Barilvi, radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, farmate hain, he says very beautifully, Teri nasle paak mein hai bachcha bachcha noor ka, teri nasle paak mein hai bachcha bachcha noor ka, kyunki tu hai aaine noor tera sab gharana noor ka, subah tayba mein hui bachta hai bada noor ka, sadqa lene noor ka, aaya hai tara noor ka. We could always continue listening to the praises of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and it will never come to an end. Therefore, dear viewers and listeners of Madani channel, you have heard many Madani pearls, and we must try to implement this in our lives. Whatever difficulties we have, come back to Allah and His Rasul. Come back to the teachings of the Quran and the practical lifestyle, which we call the Sunnah, the beloved lifestyle of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In that lies all the solutions to our difficulties and our problems. We urge you to please join us next time on another episode where we will discuss more informative information, inshallah ta'ala, about the seerah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on this silsila, the life of the chosen one. Ameen bijahin nabiyin ameen sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Countless salutations be upon the chosen one, the soul of mercy. Countless salutations be upon the divine candle of assembly of guidance.